Attention this morning to the 36th Psalm. If you have your scriptures and would like to read along with us, I'm going to read verse 8 of Psalms 36, where the scripture says, "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." One of the blessings of reading through the book of Psalms that I find whenever I'm studying through the words of the psalmist David and the others that penned the book is I am particularly thankful for the personal observations that are made throughout the book. I enjoy hearing what a man thinks. You know, I especially when their thoughts are as spiritual as someone as the psalmist David. He tells us of his trials. He tells us of his triumphs. He tells us of his love for God. He tells us of his love for family. He tells us of his love for the Lord's house. You know, I enjoy particularly the mentions that the psalmist David makes about the worship of God and how pivotal of a portion of his life was dedicated to the service of the living God. You know, as you look at a man that was blessed, a man that not only was blessed, but a man whose children were blessed because of his faithful service. And a good example of that is this man named the psalmist or the King David. He was one that was blessed by God in a particularly special way because of his faithfulness to lean and to trust and to worship God. You know, we're told in a multitude of different places how much the psalmist David loved the house of God. You know, he says back in the 27th Psalm, he said, "One thing I desire of the Lord, and that shall I seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." You know, some people would say, do you think he's talking about eternal heaven? No, he's talking about his life here in this world, that he would dwell all the days of his life in the house of the Lord. He wanted to be amongst the people that worshiped and served God. You know, he says back in the 23rd Psalm, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that's a proper view of the house of the Lord. Whenever you're blessed to enjoy it, it's by the goodness and mercy of God. And that's what David recognized about the place of worship and being among the saints of God, is that it was precious to him. And you know, one of the things that I witness today, more and more, and you know, the only context that I can try to speak upon a subject that's on my mind like this morning is to speak upon the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, His representative witness that is in this world. But one of the attacks that is against the witness of the Lord here in this world is what it lacks. Is what it lacks. It lacks this, it lacks that, it doesn't have this. And if the Lord will be with me this morning, there's some particular things that I'd like to bring to our attention about what the house of the Lord does have. You know, the language that the psalmist David uses here in this verse is that they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. You know, whenever you're abundantly satisfied with something, that means you've got your fill of it. You know, your cup runs over with the amount that you've been blessed to be able to partake of. And when you talk about the fatness of something, now, you know, there's a reason why that word is used. That means that there's more than enough. You know, there's a reason why, and I'm not going to give the weight, I'm not going to give the dimensions of what would be classified as meeting this category, but what you can definitely apply whenever you think of the fatness of something is that it's more than what's needed. You know, there's a reason why you become fat in your, there's no other way to put it, there's a reason why you become overweight. And it's because you maybe are eating more than you need. And, you know, I'm not one that's going to jump all over for somebody about enjoying the Lord, giving them good blessings in this world and enjoying food and things like that. But nevertheless, it does mean that there's a certain portion of our intake of nutrients that we do need. And sometimes when we eat more than we need, sometimes we carry it a little bit more around our waist. You know, I joked with somebody as I went through the line yesterday up there at Grace Church. You know, they had so much food that it looked like I was being particular about what I was picking out whenever I went through there, as if I didn't see anything that I liked. But I was really being particular because there were so many things that I liked. I wanted to make sure that I got exactly what I liked as I went through that line. You know, and I joked with the folks up there when they said something, you know, about how I went down one side of the aisle and down the other. I said, you know, I enjoy eating. I love to eat. And it's evidence, you know, if you go back and you read the ministry of the Apostle Paul, whenever he was in Philippi, you know, I talked one time about some things that he was blessed to be able to engage in that city in his ministry. And I tell you, I think he enjoyed the company of some fine homes in that town too, because he went in the house of Lydia and converted that house and baptized. He went in the house of the Philippian jailer. He probably left there with a few more pounds than what he got there with. And I got to tell you, I'm here at Macedonia Church with a few more pounds than I had whenever I got here, because I've enjoyed the blessings of the natural blessings of the meal here. And whenever the Lord tells us about the fatness of His house, He's not talking about the literal meal. He's talking about the abundance of blessings that are at the house of the living God. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And there's some things that in the midst of the attacks that come against the church today, let us look at what the church does have. It has some things that are in abundance that we ought to be thankful for and we ought to be satisfied with. We ought to be satisfied with the truth that's in God's house. We ought to be satisfied with the truth that's in God's house. You know, the Scripture tells us in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, one of the things that we should never take for granted at the house of the living God is the truth that God has given us about His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He came to do and what He accomplished on the cross at Calvary and what He's ever living to do on the right hand of the Son of God today. That is a truth that you and I can take for granted here in this world, that you and I have been partakers of to this point, but yet if we don't consider it something that we're abundantly satisfied with, something that we just overflow with feel of thanksgiving unto the Lord God Almighty for giving us the fatness of the truth here in his house. You know, here in this world, I get so tired of political correctness. I'm fed up with it. And it's not that I don't use it. I have to at my office a lot of times. Because you'll get yourself in a world of trouble at just a snap of a finger. All it'll take is for you to be brutally honest with somebody, and you'll be in a heap of trouble. You can tell the truth till the cows come home, but if you don't say it in the most politically correct way, you'll get yourself in a bunch of trouble. I'm sure that if anybody cared enough to do it, I doubt they do. I doubt they really care what the preacher says up here in Pine Rock, Georgia. But if anybody were to go and dig through the CDs that are, or the recordings that are online, I'm sure that they could probably come after Brother Will. You know, some people have wondered why we have a login on there for people to get to the sermons. I need one shield of defense. Give me just one opportunity to make sure I know who's on there browsing around. Because if I see somebody from the Tribune or somebody from the Daily News on there, I'm not going to believe that they're on there for the right reasons. And I might have to bring forth some action to try to salvage my reputation. Because they're not just going to take it in whole. They're going to take the bits and pieces that they can out of it and try to attack somebody that's speaking the truth. You know, that's what we need more than anything in the world in this day and time, is somebody to just tell the truth instead of worrying about the political correctness of the truth. You know, there's a way that it ought to be said. You know, that we can certainly speak in a manner that will be unbecoming of the spirit and the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture tells us that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, apt to teach, and in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness doing it. In meekness, coming forth with the truth. But nevertheless, it doesn't change the content of the words. The truth does not change. God's truth of what is right and what is wrong. God's truth about doctrine. It is not something that is evolving. It is not something that is relative to the circumstances of the world in which it exists. It is something that is absolute and is contained in God's Word. God's Word is truth. You know, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. We should be satisfied with the scriptures that we've got, because these scriptures are truth. You know, whenever we think of the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, the scripture says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. He tells us there what his Bible is. His Bible is truth. Do you know how many people in this world that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? I think they're blood bought. They're heaven-bound children of God. God dwells in their heart. But they're not satisfied with the scriptures that they've got. They're not satisfied with them. They've got to go find something new. As opposed to reading the scriptures and deriving what God would have us to believe from them, they like to take their beliefs to the scriptures and like for the scriptures to be modified to match their beliefs. I tell you, our beliefs need to be modified to match the scriptures. And I'm not telling you that the church ought to modify our beliefs, but if we have an understanding or if we have a thought that we think that is true, that we think is sound, it ought to line up with the Word of God. It's not something where we can go and alter the Word of God in order to make it say what it says. You know, I'm going to be real point blank with you. There's a lot of people that are starting to utilize the modern English version of the scriptures. The modern English version of the scriptures. Because it was translated, I even question using the word translated. Because it was written from the King James translation, people say, it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to give you one example. And you tell me if this is the same language. You tell me if this is the same language. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Well, your King James translation Bible reads as the following: for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That's what it says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Modern English version. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you won't get that by a sharp primitive Baptist. You won't get that by a hard shell. I tell you what, there's a difference between those two, is there not? There's a difference between those two. You know, one of those things, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, I could give you a very same example where the Scripture says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." The whole first half of the verse is gone. You know, it's just contained, "And you who were dead in trespasses and in sins." It leaves out the quickening. It leaves out the work of God. It leaves out what has already been done by God Almighty. Don't come tell me it's not the same. We ought to be content, and we ought to be abundantly satisfied with the truth of God's Word. You know, if our people have down through the ages been able to survive based on these words that we've got, and we've got the promise of God that He's preserved His Scriptures down through the ages, God forbid that we would think that all of a sudden now they need to be changed. I tell you, there's some dire warnings in this book about somebody that thinks that they can change the words of the Almighty God. We ought to be abundantly satisfied with what the house of God has, and we have the truth that the house of God, the Lord has given it to us, and if we'll be satisfied with it, you'll enjoy it. You know, there's some things that until you get satisfied with, you don't enjoy. You know, there's some things that where until you get content, godliness with contentment is great gain. And some people in this life, it doesn't matter what they have. They're never content with it. They're never thankful for it. They always want something they do not have. And they never find joy here this side of glory. They'll be joyous when they get to glory. It's not going to matter how much glory you've had, how much joy you've had here when you get to glory. We're all going to have the same joy when we get to glory. Praise be unto the Lord for that truth that we have in God's Word. There's not tears in heaven. There's not tears that flow down our cheek. There's not T-I-E-R-S. There's not levels in heaven that people sit in. We're all together as one at the feet of Jesus Christ, praising Him for those things in which He has done. But I tell you, there's some joy here in this world for somebody that'll be content, that'll be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the Lord's house that He's given us, and the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the truth that is contained in His Word. I tell you, the house of God has got some things. It doesn't mean that we don't have to work at it. You know, one of the mistakes that somebody can make is say, "Well, you got them, so you can just sit on them like a chicken does an egg, and you can just sit there on the seat to do nothing and do nothing with it." No, it takes utilizing these gifts that God has given us. It takes utilizing it. You know, this book that we've got before us today, if we're going to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the truth that is in God's Word, you're going to have to read that truth that's in God's Word. You're going to have to spend some time in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the reading of His Word. So I'm not sitting on the chair of do nothing, but I'm telling you that in terms of changing it, I ain't no fan. But you know, I'm as old-fashioned, I guess, as you can find. And I pray that there are some things that are some traits about me that will rub off on my youngins. I want it to rub off on y'all, okay? I want you to be old-fashioned whenever it comes to the Word of God. I want you to appreciate what God has given us here in this Word, because it's something that I'm abundantly satisfied with. God gave it, and it's the fatness of His house. It's not something that's lacking. It doesn't lack a thing. If we'll read it for what it is, it'll tell us everything that we need to know about God, everything we need to know about how to live here in this world. I'll tell you another thing that we're blessed to be able to have in the house of God is the praise of God. We're blessed to be able to praise God in the house of the living God. We're blessed to be able to praise Him in song. I don't think that there's anybody that's got the Spirit of God living within them that could come to a song service like we had this morning and not leave with the observation that those people are praising God. That those people are praising God with the instrument that God gave them. You know, God gave you the instrument of your voice. And that's the reason why, because we offer ourselves a living sacrifice at the Lord's house, we don't use things that are dead. We don't use instruments that are dead. A banjo, a piano, a guitar, a drum, an organ, whatever it is. It is a dead instrument. Except you go forth and you play. It is something that is dead. But the Lord's Spirit dwelling within you, that voice is alive. It's something that God is. We're praising Him with the instrument of that God has given us here in this world. It removes the susceptibility that we can have of observing and worshiping people's talents at the house of God by praising Him with the instrument that we've got. You know, if you want to, you know, and I don't say this whenever I make comments about. Sometimes a group. I'm not trying to stereotype as a whole, but I don't mind saying in general. In general, most people that can play an instrument love to show you how well they can play an instrument. They love to do that into the audience and the gathering of others. And I tell you, I enjoy going to some. I enjoy observing that talent. I do. I like to go and listen to somebody pick a banjo and to play bluegrass music. I certainly enjoy it.
but I want to tell you, there's some things that are fit for the house of God. There's some things that are okay to observe out there that are not fit for the house of God, because it's not a place where we observe those sort of talents. It's a place where we can all together. It doesn't matter how good you sing. It doesn't matter how well you can carry a tune at the house of God. Sing praises unto God Almighty. Praise Him. That's something that God has given us here at His house, the capability to be able to do, to praise Him. You know, you think of what a precious privilege that is. You know, if some people were to be given the opportunity, and you got a letter today in the mail, that you could go and you could meet the King of England, or the, you know, let's give it another, I mean, I can say this with a smile, I hope, you know, you could get a letter saying that you could go visit the President of the United States. You know, some people may not want to, but you know, you would consider it to be just a great privilege that you would have the opportunity to be seated in the presence of one so great. You know, I'd take my opportunity. There's a few things I'd like to talk to him about. And it's not that I wouldn't reverence him and the respect that he deserves in his office, but I'd have a few things I'd have to ask him about. But nevertheless, I would receive it. I would consider it a privilege. And I want to tell you, child of God, to have the opportunity to come into His house and to be seated with Him and sing praises unto Him is a privilege that God has extended to you. It's something that He's given you. And if you'll be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of it and with the blessings that overflow in doing it, oh, what a glorious thing it is into the life of a child of God to get to come do it. You know, I know people that just enjoy the song service. You know, there's places, and we did it for some time. We met in the afternoon for song service. You know, that was a worship service. We met and it was a worship service. It was something that God has given us to do here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing praises unto His name. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. I tell you, not only have we been given the praise to worship Him in song, we've been given the opportunity to praise Him in song, we've been given the opportunity to praise Him with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that He has given us here in this world. It is a gift that God has given unto men for the benefit of His children. Sure, a man enjoys it whenever he's blessed by God to proclaim the gospel. But I don't think God gave it just for a man to enjoy his efforts in preaching the gospel. He gave it to man to feed the people that he stands before, so that they could partake of the blessings of the truth that God has given us here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so often we feel like we're at a disadvantage in the war that we're engaged in. You know, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not involved in the warfare from I've forgotten what the terminology is, the digital warfare, you know, between America and China, or between America and whoever else that taps and probably knows what searches you've done on your phone and who you've talked to and everything. That's not what our warfare is. But it doesn't mean that we don't have one. It means that just because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you know, spiritual wickedness is something that has gained a lot of influence and authority in our society today. It's up there. It's in high places. It's something that people look up to. It's received its place of stature in society. And you know, we're wrestling against that. I, as your pastor, am fighting in an aggressive battle to try to keep you from falling victim of those things. We as parents are fighting a battle every day to try to prevent our children from falling victim of the warfare that is going on here, going on in the world. And so often we feel like we don't have any tools to fight back against the enemy. You know, but the Apostle Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, God's given us some weapons, and they're mighty through God. And one of the weapons that God has given us is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise His name and to instruct us here in this world, to warn you of the dangers of this world. That's what I just did, by the way. If you're saying, Brother Will, I cannot remember a warning. I just gave you one about a perversion of Bible that exists, that somebody at some point in time, if you haven't been tempted by it yet, you probably will, to tell you that it's okay to read from these things, that God has given us these words too. I just gave you a warning. I just gave you an example and a warning to stay away from those sort of things, because what it'll do is it'll eventually flood your mind and tell you it's okay to alter the Word of God. And you know, if you can start with an alteration of this, there is no end to where you can end up. It has to, everything begins and ends in regards to your religion in the Scriptures that God has given us. You know, I've gotten to the point where if somebody wants to talk about religion and church and what we believe, if they drag out something other than this one, it's not even worth your time. It's not even worth your while. And I hate that things are like that, but it is so construed. It is so misguided. And it's so wrong that if you can't win them, that God has preserved His Word down through time, and that it existed long before a lot of these editors wanted to sell a book, which is what's driving all this. You ever wonder why a new one ever comes out every couple of years? You think it's because they dug up something that they didn't already know was there. You think it's because they'd like to sell you a new one. Another warning. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's another warning. And I tell you, child of God, today we have weapons in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some things to utilize. We have the gospel. We have prayer. We have the power of prayer in the church, that we can pray unto God that He would intercede on our behalf. We can pray for others that we know are in trouble. We can pray for them that the Lord would intervene and that the Lord would do something about the circumstances. We have some things that we can utilize here in this world. And I tell you, child of God, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. He's given us the privilege to be able to praise His name here in this world. They shall be abundantly satisfied. You know, if you go back and you read the first several verses of this chapter, one of the things that you'll see is that David's wrestling with things of the world. He's wrestling with things of the world. That's what's taking place all the way down to where it transitions. I believe in verse 4 or 5, it transitions to things that are spiritual. And he's telling us, as you wrestle against these things of the world, here's some ways that you can conquer to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the Lord's house. You know, we always hear about things that are lacking, but I want to tell you, there's some things we got. You know, I'll tell you something else that you got here in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is you've got love at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got love at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got the love of the saints and of the people of God. You know, what you get out in the world is what you think is love a lot of times. You think that somebody's got your well-being in mind, and you endure and you endure and you keep going. But whenever you get down to the end of it, what you realize is all they had in mind all along was their well-being. That's the way of the world. They're using you for their benefit. They're using you for something that is their benefit. But I tell you, at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a place that the psalmist David said that is a place of fatness, we've got love at the house of God. You know, with love comes some responsibilities. You know, because we love one another, we instruct one another. You know, I tell you, if you show me a parent that continually instructs his child, I'll show you one that loves them. Now, if they just ride them like a horse into the ground where their nose just plumb is eat up with dirt and they never pick that child up and encourage that child, I'll question his methods. But I tell you, somebody that instructs a child loves that child. Somebody that wants to see that child do better is because they love that child. And the same thing comes whenever we're talking about the house of the living God. We have love at the house of God. And one of the things that love involves is some instruction at the house of God. One of the things that love involves at the house of God is correcting things that are wrong. We see that through the principle that the Lord has given us, that the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And the same thing goes whenever we're talking about one another. If we love one another, we'll instruct one another. We'll correct one another. You know, another aspect of love that we have at the house of God is fellowship, one to another. That you have the opportunity to have some friends.
in this world. You know, to have you some friends who are spiritually minded. You could probably find bukus of friends in a lot of different avenues of this world. But you pay close attention to the direction of the conversation. You pay close attention to the direction of the conversation a lot of times that you'll have with them. And it'll be just as carnal as it can be. It'll be carnally minded. It won't be spiritually minded. But fellowship at the house of the living God is something that we're able to engage in. It's something that is done out of love from one to another. You know, if you'll remember over in the second chapter of the book of Acts, you'll remember that on the day of Pentecost, when there were added unto the church about 3,000 souls, that they that were baptized continued steadfastly in some things. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means that the things in which we believe today, they better be the same things that the apostles believed back then. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You ever thought about that? That if the apostle Peter, Paul, James, or any of those other apostles, if they were to walk in to our worship service today, would they see exactly what they saw back then? would they see the same things that took place back then? It's a thought to have, because they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That was something that they continued in according to Acts chapter 2. Another two were in breaking of bread and prayer, but they continued in fellowship. You know, that's what we do whenever we break bread on the grounds at the Lord's house, is that we engage in fellowship. You know, if we don't do it here, you know, we could go back to the way that folks did it for many years, and the preacher can just come visit you anytime during the middle of the week. And, you know, just show up out of the blue and sit down and have supper with you and go out on the front porch and converse and so that he can spend time with the people that he's, you know, it wasn't odd down where I grew up for that to happen. That was just whenever I was a young kid, kind of the transition, I guess, happened, you know, during the 90s sometime where folks just didn't spend time on the front porch like they used to. But I can remember as a young child, the middle of the week, you know, as the day wound down, well, you know, the preacher would just come and just sit down with me and my family and just spend time with us in our dens and on our front porches. You know, that was the fellowship. That was what he had to do, because they didn't have dinner on the grounds. They didn't have a way for him to one-on-one engage the people that he was trying to lead. You know, it's not only something for the pastor to have the fellowship with the people. It's for the people to have fellowship with one another so that they can hear of the trials of life and they can give advice about how to engage the trials that exist in this life. You know, we've been blessed with a lot of young mamas in this congregation. And we've been blessed with some mamas that's raised youngins in this congregation. And you know, one of the best gifts that you can give, if you've raised youngins and yours are raised and they're gone, and you say, "I am dusting my hands, my work is done." Let me tell you something. You've still got some work that you can do that'll be a benefit to these young mothers. Is you can give them advice on taking care of their children. You can give them advice on how to keep their houses in order. You can give them such beneficial advice. And it's something that the Lord has given us here at His church. It is something that we can look at and say that we're abundantly satisfied with the fatness of His house. You know, would you rather take the advice of a sister that's lived through it and has walked in the same shoes that you've done? Or do you want to go subscribe to Women's Journal or Red Book and read those articles? You tell me what's better. And you say, "Brother Will, it sounds like you're getting on the sisters." No, we can get on the brethren too. Would you rather sit down and talk to the brethren of the church about how to go forth at certain trials of your occupation, about having to talk to boys at times and things that you need to be real direct with them about what they face out in this world? Would you rather go and seek the advice of some worldly journal, or would you rather sit down with a brother that's raised a few of them and him tell you the way that he's done it? I tell you the way I'd rather do it. I'd rather speak one-on-one to the one that's given me the love and the time to do to give me that counsel and to give me that advice. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. You know, it's a service to God whenever we show love to one another. In the book of 1 John in the 3rd chapter, the scripture says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he would lay down his life for us. Therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And you know, whenever you stop and you take time to hear your brother or your sister that's in need, you know what you're doing? You're laying aside your life. And you're putting their life before your own, because you're saying, "I'm going to..." You know, we've all got things to do. You know, just because sometimes we can think that because somebody is taking the time to hear us, that they just don't have anything else better to do.
I'm sure if we all followed one another home from here, I hope you enjoy a good day of rest. But it doesn't mean that everything comes to a standstill. We still have to feed youngins tonight. We still have to fix supper. And you know, it's a heap easier sometimes if you can get home and have time to prop up your feet for a little while before you try to start fixing supper. But you know, isn't it good whenever somebody takes the time that instead of just, you know, immediately leaving to go and tend to themselves, they take time to lay down their lives for you to hear the things that you face. And they can bring to a standstill some of the things that they've got going on in their life. You know, I look back at times that, you know, we live so far away from family. And, you know, I see that there's been times, you know, whenever I first became the pastor up here, you'll remember I was working over in Canton, and at the time Sister Allison was trying to work 2 days a month, and you know my mom and daddy would come up here twice a month to babysit youngins so that we could pay the bills and make ends meet until we were able to make some arrangements. And you think about the sacrifice, you know, a lot of parents wouldn't do it. But I look back, and at the time, I didn't appreciate it as much as I should, that somebody would lay down their life. They had to step aside from the things in which they were normally doing, the things in which they would have done to help out a brother or a sister in need. God has given us the blessings of love at the house of God. And you know, you say, Brother Will, I think, you know, as I hear these things that you've gone through, and I'm gonna stop there. You say, Brother Will, I hear what you're saying, but I still think that there's things that we could do better. Amen and amen. We can always do better. We've never reached the point where we can say, I've reached the pinnacle. When you're in glory with the Lord, you've reached the pinnacle. You can sit down and you can rest from your works whenever you're there. But while we're here, while we see some things that God has given us here, He gave us truth. He gave us the privilege of praise. He gave us the gift of love in the church. You know, if we love, it's because He first loved us, and you can't love anyone else except the fact that the Lord dwells in you and has given you that gift of love. It's a fruit of the Spirit that He's blessed His children to be able to have. And we have these things. And I tell you, as I look and see what the Lord has done for us and given us those things and many more, man, we'd be here all day if we had to go through the things that God has given us at His house. But as we see these things, let us speak just as David spoke, that they shall be abundantly satisfied with what your house has, with the fatness of thy house, as opposed to murmuring with what it lacks. Because I don't think it lacks anything. I think God Almighty gave it everything that it needed. And if it lacks anything, it's because we need to tighten up the way that we do things and do things better. But praise be unto the Lord that we can be satisfied and that we can enjoy the blessings of God while we live here this side of glory. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Only God.